Good morning, Mr. Spielman. Paul Allen at Twin Cities Orthopedics Performance Center. How are you?
Good. Happy to be on in this new studio. Beautiful.
What's it like being general manager of the Minnesota Vikings?
It's an exciting time of the year. Mm-hmm. Have all our guys up there. We went through scenarios again this morning, probably for the 150th time.
Right.
Try to put ourselves in the worst possible situation. And one I thought about last night and came up with today was about...
Are you a masochist?
All I know is if you can get prepared for the worst and you have an answer for that, then anything above that is gravy.
You and Coach Zimmer, I understand, my intel indicates you just came out of a team meeting.
Correct.
What did you guys talk about?
Stuff that the team would talk about.
Mm-hmm. Do you guys do mock drafts? Like, do you and your staff or anything, like day of draft, like mock 1 to 30, and like do it multiple times just to kind of see how things may fall?
We'd kind of go off what our board is. I know, you know, what I want to hone in on the potential combinations that are going to be there at 30.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a pretty good sense of where the board's going to fall. I have a pretty good sense all the way through probably the fourth round on potential guys.
Yeah.
So I'll put us in situations if we stay at the pick we're at and these three guys are available, how would you go? Or what's the consensus?
Yeah.
And we'll talk with that. I gave the coaches clusters throughout the draft where I think these guys potentially will be and had them hammer through those clusters on how they see it. And then we put it all together and, then I'll go ahead and make the decision when we're on the clock.
At your press conference yesterday, and you've said this before, and I'm junior college trained, so I'm not the brightest thing in the world, but...
San Francisco State, right?
You know Pasadena City College, Anthony Miller, Charles Mensah, but, and Kirby Wilson. But you've said it before, and I never completely understand it. You say that you do things horizontally, not vertically. What does that mean?
Horizontally goes from left
to
right.
I appreciate that.
He goes up and down.
Dalvin Cook good horizontally. Stephon Diggs good vertically. But like from a draft board standpoint, what you don't want to do is
if you stack it vertically, okay, and you have a player at number 10 and number 15. Well, if you look at that, you're saying, well, take player number 10 because he's five players better than 15.
Mm-hmm.
Where if you do it horizontally and they're in the same category and they have the same grade.
Mm-hmm.
Then it's saying, okay, you can take either one of those players. They're the same value.
Yeah.
So that's what we try to do is I don't want to have someone sit there and look, well, you took the 17th player when there was still the 10th player there.
Yeah.
That's not the case because that 10th player and 17th player horizontally are the same or they wouldn't be in that category for us.
Is draft time more enjoyable than free agency?
Free agency, draft, you have a little bit more control somewhat on whether you move up, you move down, whether you take a player. You know, it's a little bit waiting to see what falls your way. That's the anticipation and the angst, I think, a little bit as you're hoping these guys fall to you, that you have your eyes set on. Free agency is all, you know.
Dollars and cents.
And, you know. They get to choose what team they want to go to. So I like this part more because you have a little bit more control over what you're doing.
What led you into settling in on that Kendricks extension now?
I think, we want to try to extend all our guys, but Eric and his agent, Doug Hendrickson, you know, wanted to get this done.
Yeah.
And so they were the ones at this point more willing to try to get something done and something where we felt that they felt it was fair, we felt it was fair.
Yeah.
And so we went ahead and were able to do it. Now, I know we'll continue to work on the other guys to see where that comes, but I know for them it was a sense of urgency to get this done as quickly as possible.
Eric has led the team in tackles three consecutive years, a couple of defensive touchdowns too. Overall, like with Eric, what do you want the next step to be for him? Like you just got this deal, which is a good deal. You're already really good, but A, B, and C can make you potentially great, close to elite.
Yeah, no, I think he's an excellent player. I think he's got Pro Bowl talent, and I know everybody can always improve. Everybody's going to maybe do this a little better, do that a little better. But I think as these guys understand the scheme, and you're seeing the defense, and why the defense is really good right now, is because when you watch them on the field, there's some communication, but most guys can just look at each other and already know.
Yeah.
And that's huge when you have that continuity. And I think Eric's just going to continue to get better as a player in all those phases.
Are you in any way having anxiety over your new draft board? I mean, I saw it on your face yesterday at your press conference. Did you say you've used magnets or like for 30 years?
30 years magnets.
Holy
first
cow.
Time we don't
and now
have
it's
magnets.
All, is it digital? It's all electronic?
It's all digital. It's all interactive.
Wow.
It's touching this.
What if somebody pulls a plug or something at like pick 29?
I have a backup plan in
right.
place.
Magnets.
But it's not magnets.
Right.
That's, we have a different, but we have like 62 generators hooked up to that thing just in case.
Right, you're ready for the apocalypse.
So we'll be ready. In fact, we were practicing this morning.
Wow.
And then we're going to have a full blown out dress rehearsal this afternoon.
That's awesome. What time is that? I'd like to be there.
It'll be while you're on the air.
What would happen if I walked into your draft room and nobody was there?
You wouldn't see anything because there's no magnets on the board. It's completely blank.
What if I pushed like one button and all the names came up?
They would all fall down.
Yeah, so would my career calling Minnesota Vikings games. Rick Spielman, general manager, Minnesota Vikings from the Twin Cities Orthopedics Performance Center and the radio studio. It is 10:25-ish. Good morning. Was it tough saying goodbye to Jerick McKinnon and Shamar Stephen?
It's always tough when you lose guys because they're not only very good football players for us that helped us win games, they're also excellent people out in the community, do things the right way. Great human beings, but you have to make a lot of business decisions.
Yep.
And the hardest part in my role, where it's maybe different than the coaches, because the coaches have personal relationships with these players because they're with them every day.
Yeah.
I have to be able to separate that and make a lot of decisions, sometimes not based on we don't want them here, we'd love to have them back.
Yep.
But you have to make a business decision. And if this happens and you sign them at this amount, then how's it going? What's the domino effect?
Yep.
So
why did John Dorsey just text you?
Oh, yeah, here it is. Wants us to move up into the first pick in the draft.
Oh, no, I think that said four.
Okay.
I think he wants you to go from 30 to four. Holy cow. Didn't know you liked Bradley Chubb that much. Anyway, but I mentioned those two because, like, Bridgewater, obviously difficult to see Teddy leave. I know you were very fond of him, had that bad knee injury. Tom Johnson gave you a lot of snaps last year, probably difficult to see him leave. Likewise for Jarius Wright. But, like, McKinnon, I mean, do you ever, like, look at picks as pet picks? Like, McKinnon, you found middle of the draft out of a triple option offense. Shamar Stephen, seventh rounder from UConn, and it was great watching his development through the year. So, I mean, the personal side of the business side sometimes can be tough, right?
No, it's extremely tough, especially when you have to make those type of decisions. It's extremely tough when I know we'll talk during training camp when you have to make decisions on whether the guy's going to make the team or not make the team, especially
yeah.
a veteran that's been here for a while and has done everything the right way. So, it's hard to describe, but unless you've been in that situation, it does gnaw at you.
You mentioned yesterday that, you recognize because either what you hear or see that the public and maybe certain facets of the media with your 30th overall pick have honed in on offensive line for whatever the reason. But that's from 13-3. That doesn't necessarily have to be the situation there, right?
No, because we can find a potential starter, I believe, in this draft in the second round or potentially even in the third round. We found, moved up and got Pat Elflein last year in the third round. So I think there's enough depth in this draft where when we're at 30 and there's not potentially an offensive lineman or it's, we love this guy, but if we can move back and still get the guy or another guy that we like and add another player, why wouldn't you do that?
Right.
So... but you have to look at our roster, too. And I talked a little bit about in the press conference yesterday. We're getting pretty top-heavy in from the financial standpoint on our starters.
Yeah.
So the backups, we're not going to have the money to have $4, $5, $6 million backups. Those are going to be young guys, usually going to be on their first contract. And if we do get a guy hurt, they're going to have to step in and fill in that role. But we feel confident that we have enough young guys, and we'll add another layer of young guys coming in after this weekend, that our coaches do an unbelievable job developing these guys, and knowing if they have to play, they'll get them ready to play.
Do you feel you need to draft, no matter where it is, an offensive lineman who will start next year?
We'll look at all the positions. You know, the goal was to hopefully find two or three starters in this year's draft.
Right. But two or three is not a bad number. I mean, there have been years that you've looked at it where you're like, holy cow, we need four or five or six guys to contribute immediately.
Yeah, but, I, you know, with what we're able to do in free agency this year, I think we're able to fill a couple of really big needs. And even, you know, the thing you have to remember is what's your 19 roster going to look like?
Yeah.
And how many guys are on the last year of their deal?
Mm-hmm.
And if you can get a quality player that's rated higher than the offensive lineman at the 30th pick, whether it be a corner or a linebacker or defensive end or under tackle or safety or whatever that position is, why wouldn't you take that? That's when you're taking the best player. We want to get a really good football player, and he'll may not start this year, but you're anticipating him growing, playing, and starting for you in the future.
Now, now that you've been around new offensive coordinator John DeFilippo for 2.5 months up to this draft, what do you think? Like, what are some characteristics you like about him that maybe you didn't know when you hired him?
Very high energy, unbelievable work ethic. We sat in the draft meetings. He must have evaluated and wrote up almost every offensive player that we talked about. Teacher. Just some of the things that he's doing. You know, they can't be on the field with the players right now, but I know in the classroom and everything, and I haven't been in there, but the word, just incredible teacher. So I think he's everything that we anticipated plus.
So you get the final call as general manager, but obviously working with the offensive coordinator and the head coach, along with George Edwards, do they, like, suggest to you the types of players they want? Like, hey, if you're thinking offensive lineman, I need this kind of guy, tight end, this kind of guy, three technique, this kind of guy. Is that how it works in cohesion?
The best way to describe it is, you know, back when we took Anthony Barr, where people didn't think Anthony Barr was going to be a fit. But the coaches had a specific plan in place and specific traits that he did that would make him successful in this scheme.
Yeah.
We're going through this draft board and for the past 3 weeks when we've been in draft meetings, we talked about the player, and I can, you know, I'll give you an example of one player. I'm not going to tell you his name.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent football player, is going to be a very good football player in the NFL. But if he gets placed in the wrong scheme, and you're going to ask him to do things that are his weakness, then he's going to get exposed.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's going to look like, well, okay, that guy is, you know, is a bust. So we're very tailored, I guess would be the best way to put it, checking all the boxes off the character and things like that.
Yeah.
But also, is he going to be able to function what we're going to ask him to do? Like, Zim has a very specific traits, what he's looking for in a corner. Now, there's some very good corners that are going to maybe play in some zone schemes. They're going to be potential Pro Bowlers. But if you put him in a scheme that we run, and you try to ask him to do some of the things that the coach is going to ask him to do within our scheme, then he's not going to look very good. So we have to really hone in and tailor. And that's why there may be names popping up, you know, on draft day that, well, who's this guy and why would this guy? It's because it's been a collaborative effort between the scouts identifying what the talent level is. Now you layer in the coaches on we're recognized. We're not saying he's not a good football player. He's a heck of a football player, but he's not going to be able to do the things we're going to ask him to do. Therefore, he's not going to be as successful in this scheme.
You started as a scout, right?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, I just in getting to know scouts over the years and chatting with you and some other people about what they do, specifically when you guys are playing in the regular season. I mean, I have so much respect for the work of a scout, specifically the good ones, obviously. I mean, there's a major sacrifice that needs to be made from a personal life standpoint to be a good scout, right?
Oh, yeah. Those guys are away from home. I remember when I was on the road, we didn't have GPS back then, so I'm sitting there looking at road maps.
Yeah, right.
And we were carrying a projector around.
Yeah, right.
And I kid the young guys all the time, you know, we didn't have the internet to go look up stats or look up what happened on the internet. You had to do the groundwork, and you had to go, you know, create a lot of sources out there to try to get as much information as you can. But it is not a glamorous job. Everybody thinks it's the glamorous job. You get to go out and watch games on Saturday.
Yeah.
reality is you're getting up at 6:30 in the morning. You're sitting in a dark film room all day at a school.
Wow.
You're trying to talk to the people. You're watching the practice just so you can see the player live, if you're allowed, because some of the schools have restrictions. You're going to grab a quick bite to eat. You're driving 2 or 3 hours down the road, and then you're staying up writing the reports from that college so the next day you can keep on moving. So it's a grind. You have to be.
Why did Dave Gettleman just text you? I'm sorry. Go ahead.
That must have been Barkley.
Oh, I'm sorry. Wow, that'd be a heck of a trade-up. Anyway, it definitely, I mean, they would leave cars. They'll leave cars in, like, Charlotte, North Carolina, rent a car, and then, like, drive it all up and down the seaboard, and then come back, get their car, and then, like, drive back home. I mean, it's an arduous task.
No, and those guys, you know, basically are on the road 10 to 14 days, and then they get to come home for 2 or 3 days, and they're back out again. They live out of their suitcase. But I tell them they are the GM of that area. So I have a lot of pretty good resources out there on guys that are popping up, and I will alert them, and you know this guy. And a lot of times I'll throw them a zinger or two during our meetings, too, something that I know that they may not know, just to make sure they know that I know.
So a couple of quickies to close with Vikings general manager Rick Spielman. So many good players in the draft, or perceived good players, battling injuries. I mean, like the Ohio State offensive lineman at the combine gets the pec injury. You know, just stuff like that has popped up, with whether it's pro days or whatever. How does that factor into the process? If you like somebody, but they currently are dinged up.
We have our medical meetings. We go through the injuries. Give me an estimate time on when you think this guy is going to be ready to go. Some guys may not be ready to go until training camp. Some guys may have had surgery that may be significant risk down the road.
Yeah.
Some guys that, you know, we take off the board. There's just no way that this guy's going to play 4 years in the league. It's just his knee isn't going to hold up. So I rely heavily. In fact, I'm not a doctor, although they say I am up there during a medical meeting. But
drafting is surgery.
you have to go off what your medical experts say.
Yeah.
And there's good players on our board that were sick. You know, we were sickened with once we found out that we can't take this player from our doctors.
Yeah, I think Scott Pioli just texted you. If he even still has a job. Last one. What do you think of your roster? Just what it is now, just the roster that's been assembled into the 2018, add Cousins, add Sheldon Richardson, got Kendall Wright, plus King. You got some new guys battling at receiver. What do you think of the roster? What do you feel about it?
Well, I want to see how we end up after the draft, you know, but the roster is never built. You're always trying to add to the roster. We're right. trying to add after the draft. We're trying to add when the cuts come down to 53. We've been, you know, pretty active. Sometimes we get them, sometimes we don't when we claim players. You're trying to turn your roster over during the season. You know, we watch that waiver wire all the time. So to me, building your roster never ends. And it's a pretty much 12-month, 24/7, 7 days a week job.
Everybody hide the women and children. Last one. Any names at 30, Rick? Any names you can share with us for the old 30 spot?
No, I can't say that. There'll be someone there we take.
Best of luck. Rick Spielman, General Manager, Minnesota Vikings, from the Twin Cities Orthopedics Performance Center. This is 9 to Noon.